Okay, so have you ever done something and after you did it, you were just like, yeah, I shouldn't have done that. You know what I mean? Just maybe it took a little while, but you realized, okay, that was not on my smart side, okay? I've definitely done that a few times. I was thinking about sharing something to get us going stupid that I've done. And then I realized it'd be way more fun to tell you something stupid AJ has done. So if you're new here, AJ works on staff with us and we razz him all the time. And he does a lot of stupid things, so it was easy to come up with something. And I love him. Okay. Okay, y'all know what this is, some of you. It may be hard to tell from there. I'm trying to pull out the bottom here. It's a tire gauge. Yeah, it's really stuck. Anyways, this, you know, when you put the air, that thing comes out on the bottom. I can't get it to pull out right now. It's got a really tight spring in there or something. Anyways, and so you know what this is for, okay? You put that on the tire and you see. And most, especially men, you should have used these in your life at some point. And so AJ goes out to mow and he notices the tire looks a little flat. So he gets the air compressor, fills it up, does not get the tire gauge, just eyeballs it, and he's not good at eyeballing it, and so he's out there mowing out in the field, and do you know if you way overinflate a tire, what'll happen? It just blows up out in the middle of the field, and so it's out there, and now, you know, the mower's leaning, like, you know, and so he comes in and gets me, and it's a huge project to get it, like, we've got to get it out of the field, you know, just can't leave it out there, and so we're working on getting on that, and all that work, and you got to get the tire off, and then they try to put on one and seal it, but the tire wouldn't seal, so I had to take it to the place and get it and then to do it, you know, all the things. It just took a lot of time, not a lot of money in that case, but a lot of time just to get it all fixed, all because he didn't grab the tire gauge, okay? And so if you see AJ after service, just say, gosh, AJ. Like, don't tell him why, just, gosh, AJ. And, you know, it was dumb. And here's the thing about that. We all do stupid sometimes, and the truth is we've all done way dumber than that and had something that had way bigger complications and stressful things that happened as a result of that. And, you know, sometimes when we do something, you see somebody do something stupid or something dumb, it's funny. And sometimes in our own life, you look back and you laugh. And I was in a parking lot and watching this lady trying to get into her car. She's pushing the button and getting real frustrated, and then she turned and realized that wasn't her car, and hers was over there, and I just laughed. I mean, that was dumb, and it was funny, but sometimes when you do something, and it wasn't a tire that blew up, it was a friendship, or your finances, or something like that, it's not always that funny, and sometimes, I'll just say, sometimes stupid hurts, okay, and because sometimes when we do things that we shouldn't have, it hurts, and when we have to face the problem with that, and I guess in a less teenager way of saying it, this is the way I would say to them, okay, but we all make decisions, okay, and the wrong ones hurt. And when you make a decision and you make the wrong one, it often causes us pain. And sometimes it's a small thing and sometimes it's a really big thing, but when we make the wrong decisions, it causes us problems. And so we want to make the right decisions. And one of the frustrating things about making wrong decisions is even if you didn't know better, like you were seeking to do the right thing, it's if you do the wrong thing anyways, even if you thought it was right, it still hurts. It still causes problems. Just because you didn't know better doesn't mean that you didn't need, or doesn't mean that it didn't cause problems. Now, if you have a flat tire on a mower or a car, isn't it great that if you need to put air in it, there's a tool to use to know how much is the appropriate amount? That you can put it on there and go, nope, it's too low, or nope, that's way too much. I need to let some back out. I need to adjust. There's a tool for that, okay? Now, wouldn't it be great if in our life there was something that God gave us that we could use to look at our life and go, I have way too much of that in my life, or I have not enough of this in my life, or there's some change that needs to happen in my life. Wouldn't it be great? And as you know, as you saw the title slide, that there is something that he gave us that we're supposed to use so that we can do that, so that we don't blow up things in our life that aren't meant to be. And so we need to use this gauge that God has given us, this tool that God has given us to not make mistakes, to make better decisions. So what I want to think is, you know, what if you could know better? Like, what if, you see, sometimes I don't know better. But what if you could know better? And therefore, you can make decisions better, okay? You know what I'm saying? We want to make better decisions. We want to make decisions better. And God has given us a tool to be able to do that. So we're going to look in 2 Corinthians 3:16, and it's going to tell us exactly what that tool is and how it's supposed to work in our lives. In 2 Timothy 3:16 says this. All scripture is God-breathed and is useful. And I'm going to pause for a second. All scripture is God-breathed. So scripture, that's the Bible. Okay, all the Bible is the scripture, okay? The scripture is the Bible. And it says is God-breathed, which is kind of an unusual thing to say. So I want to make sure we understand what that means really quick. So the Bible was written by 40 different writers. 40 different writers wrote the different books in your Bible. Some of them wrote multiple, some just wrote one. But the Holy Spirit inspired all of those different writers. You could say it had one author, that's God, and the Holy Spirit then speaks through these authors, inspired them what to write, and so therefore it is God-breathed. He breathed it into all of those different writers. Now, this is important because in your life when you're making decisions, there will be lots of places you can go to get advice and find out what to do. And sometimes you can get good advice on these places. Sometimes you Google something and it's good advice. Sometimes it's the worst advice you could get, all right? You can get it on Google, you can get it on TikTok, you can get advice from a friend, you can get your advice from whatever, the news thing you watch or a book you read. There's a lot of places to get advice. Some are good, some are bad, but there is only one place to get God-breathed advice, and that is from Scripture. It is the only place that you can turn to and find advice. You can find direction. You can find teaching that is breathed from God, and that is Scripture. And that is a very important thing for us to recognize. And so he says, all Scripture is God-breathed. And then he goes on and he says, and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness. First it says for teaching. Do you know everything? No, I asked the teenagers and they said yes, okay? Some of you have them at home, okay, yeah. Now here's the deal, every teenager thinks they know everything, right? If you have some at home or kids. And here's the problem is some people never grow out of thinking they know everything. Like you're supposed to grow out of that and realize, oh, I don't know anything, okay? Or I don't know near as much as I thought I did. And so we all need to recognize this, we need teaching. We need to be taught. We need to grow. We need to know more. We need to grow out of thinking we know it all. And then it says rebuking and correcting. And I think a lot of times we think that is not good because who likes to be rebuked, right? No one likes that. No one likes to be corrected until you really think about it. Because if you are going the wrong way and that way is going to hurt you, don't you want to be corrected? Don't you want to be lovingly rebuked? Okay, well, don't you want to? No one wants to keep going in the wrong way. One time, many years ago, I was still a student back then. I got at odds with a teacher who had, I believed, mistreated me, and I was right. And he, like, cheated me on some stuff, and I knew that he had done the same thing to some other people, and so I'm just kind of like a go-getter person, and so I got some people together, and I was like, hey, we're going to go to the counselor, we're going to go to the principal, we're going to tell him everything he's done wrong, we're going to make his life miserable, we're going to get him for doing what he's done. And so I went and talked to a mentor kind of teacher of mine who was a Christian, and told him about everything that was going on. I thought he was going to give me advice on how to get this teacher in trouble. And he started talking to me about honor and authority and forgiveness and when someone has something against you, going and making it right. And he used the Bible to do it. And I was like, okay. And this is what I needed. I needed correction because I was mad and I was upset and I was going down this path. And he said, no, you need to turn around and go back that other direction. And that's what the scripture does for us. It corrects us. Some of us need a correction in the way we spend our money, the way that we handle our finances, because we think it's all just for us. And we don't realize that God gives it to us so that we can bless others, and then we can take care of what we need. Some of us need a correction in the way we spend our time. Because we waste it, and God's given us only so much, and we're wasting it. Some of us need to be corrected in our health. And I'm not going to go on that because people get upset. Some of us need to be corrected in our speech, in the way that we talk. We need to be corrected, and what that means is some of us need to be rebuked by the scripture. I mean, sometimes when I see people doing things, I just want to go rebuke them, and I'm like, well, they probably won't take it from me, but take it from scripture and be rebuked, be corrected, okay? We need those things. Otherwise, we go in the wrong direction. Do you want to go in the wrong direction? I hope not. I don't. And here's what I realize often when I read the scripture, I am going in the wrong direction, and it corrects me. If you don't let it correct you, it's not doing you much good. But it is very useful for correcting. It is very useful for showing you when you're going the wrong direction. And it says training in righteousness. That's training you in the right way to go. It's training you in what to do. And we all are growing in righteousness, growing and doing what is right. And we need to train in that. And so scripture does those things. So I was thinking about just what the scripture teaches us and trains us in. And so I just put it simple like this. Scripture really teaches us these three main things, okay? Who God is the first thing. Who God is and, you know, what he does, what he's like. Who God is and what he's like. And there's going to be a lot of opinions in this world about who God is and what he's like. People say, oh, you know, God, he's like this, and God does this, and this is who he is. Okay, there is one true source of who God is and what he's like, and that's his word. He gave us his word so that we can know what he is like and who he is. And you can come up with ideas of what you think God is like, but if you invent them in your head, you invented a God and you invented an idol for you to worship instead of worshiping the true God by seeking out who he really is. So we don't go by what we wish God was or hope God is or what so-and-so said. We go by what scripture. And if I'm reading the Bible and it said God is a way or does a certain thing or what he's like, and it's not what I thought, what do? I correct and I go with what it says. See, the next thing is how to know him and how to be saved. You want to know how to know God? Jesus came so that we'd know the Father, okay? We want to know him, you find it in Scripture. And you want to know how to be saved? You find it in Scripture. A lot of people come up with their own methods again on how they feel good with God. Well, I do my thing, I do this, and you know, through the years, different denominations and religions have come up with ways to be right with God. You want to know how to be right with God? It tells you in the Scripture. And if you have a way that you've created that is different than what is in Scripture, you're not following the way to be saved. And so you want to know what it says. And then finally, how to live. Scripture teaches us how to live, or to live the way that is right, because there's ways to live that is not right, and there's ways that aren't. That we can live in the right way. And so if you want to know the right way to live, you look at Scripture. And again, if you go to this world, they will tell you lots of ways that are right to them. This is the way a true American would live. This is the way, you know, a man would live. This is the way that, you know, this person would live. And this is what we want to know. What is the right way to live from Scripture? That will show us. And when my life does not align with what I read, what do? I correct. I rebuke myself. I let it rebuke me and change me, and I train myself to do the right thing. Now, we started by talking about making better decisions and living right and making decisions based on Scripture. So I want to look at we're going to focus on the last idea, which is it teaches us how to live, okay? But I want you to know, we could spend a whole lot of time talking about who God is and these other things from Scripture, but I want to look at Scripture and what it tells us about how that we live. And the reason I wanted to do this, talk about this tonight, is because there is something that I really hate. I really hate seeing people mess up their lives. I really hate, as a pastor, watching young people in there, or you in here, do things in your life that cause you pain and heartache and struggle, and your family's pain and heartache and struggle, especially when it's clear in Scripture what we could have done and should have done. And I hate that. And I love to see people being blessed. I love it when I hear about blessings in people's lives and seeing what God does when we begin to follow his word. Now, that makes me happy. I love seeing that because I've seen the blessings of God so strong in my own life. When I look at my life, I see just blessing after blessing. I'm emotionally healthy, physically healthy. Spiritually, I'm close to God, and I'm growing more, right? We're always growing in that. Financially, I'm blessed. Relationally, with my family, my kids, and my friends, I'm blessed. I just look at blessings, blessings, blessings all through my life. And, you know, some people look at you and go, well, that's just because you're lucky. You're just lucky. And I don't think that's it. Some people look at me and go, man, you're just smarter. No, nobody ever said that, okay? I know some people think it's because of my looks that's why everything goes good for me. But no, that's not it either. So what is it? It's the blessings of the Lord. In fact, Jesus made it really clear how you have these types of blessings. So he was teaching a crowd, and I'll just show you what happens. This woman kind of interrupts him. It says, as Jesus was saying these things, a woman in the crowd called out, blessed is the mother who gave birth and nursed you. Gave you birth and nursed you, which is just strange, you know. If I'm up here preaching, all of a sudden, blessed is the one who nursed you. I mean, like, that's just so strange. So she yells this out, and I don't know what her motives were for doing that. I kind of imagine that her kids were some rascals, and she was like, I am tired of these kids. So your mom's blessed. She got to have you. But look what I have to deal with. That's kind of how I picture that. And in fact, I actually think a lot of people do that about some other things, though. They'll look at somebody and they say, well, if I had, like, she may have been thinking, if I had him as a kid, my life would be blessed. And people will go, well, if I had their money, I'd be blessed. If I had their family, if I had their upbringing, if I had their personality, their looks, their whatever, if I had what they had, then I would be blessed. Instead of looking to other people, let me show you what Jesus said makes you blessed. He says blessed rather are those who hear the word of God and obey it. Amen. Very, very simple statement. You want to be blessed, hear and obey the word, the scripture, the Bible. If you hear them and you obey it, they have to go together. Hearing by itself is not going to work. That's like having the tire gauge in your pocket, okay? It doesn't do any good. You have it, but, you know, if you hear it, but and then you have to obey it. And it's kind of hard to obey it if you don't hear it. So you got to have both. And then that leads to blessing. And, you know, I feel so thankful for myself. I'm so blessed. Now, this is just a blessing of the Lord from my family. But I was raised in church. And when I was little, I learned the B-I-B-L-E, you know, that's the book for me. And I learned to stand upon the word of God, the B-I-B-L-E. I learned that this little. And when I was tiny, I was taught that if I will read the Bible, it'll tell me what to do. And I need to live by that. And all through my life, because I got to learn it when I was, I don't know, 5 or 6, I got to have the benefits of the blessing of God through my life. And I'm thankful for that. And I'm very thankful for the teachers in those classrooms that teach my kids and the other kids in this church those same things. So they get to live blessed throughout their life. Now, if you came to faith much later, you got to live with, you had to live without that. And now you're starting to see the blessing of God in your life, and it's going to grow and grow and grow as you hear his word and obey it more and more. You'll see more and more of his blessings. So here's some things, 3 quick things that God's word teaches us and shows us and helps us with. Number one, God's word teaches us the way that is right. And that's kind of what we read a while ago. It teaches us the way that is right. So let me show it to you in Psalms 119:99. He says, I have more insight than all my teachers, for I meditate on your statutes. But he says, because I look at what your word says, your statutes, your ways, okay, I have more insight than all my teachers. In other words, the people that are supposed to know everything, I know more than they know. And they're the expert, I know more than. Why? Because, not just because I'm so smart and I got it together and I got better common sense than everybody. No, because I meditate on your statutes. If I focus on them and learn them, I'll know more than the teachers. I'll know more than these experts out here. And, you know, you don't have to look real hard to see that that can become true in the way our culture is. I was reading about this girl. She's about 20 now. But when she was 13, she was confused about her gender and thought she was a boy. And so she told her parents, and they took her to a doctor because they didn't know what to do. Here's the thing. The parents wanted to do what's right by her kid, by their kid. And the doctor said, well, what you're supposed to do is you give them these hormone blockers and these things. And you do. And so she went through all of it. She had this surgery. She had all this when she was about 13, 14 years old. By the time she was 18, she regretted it and switched back to the gender that God gave her. And but the problem was she could no longer have kids. She had surgery, so her body was altered. And I thought about it, though, that, see, she went to the experts. And her family said to the doctors, what do we do? And it, well, if you don't do this, she may commit suicide. But here's the way. All of the time, there was something that would have made them much smarter than the experts. Much more knowledge, much more insight, as it says, than the experts and the teachers. And that would have been if they meditated on God's word in that area. And so what do we need to do when we face decisions and complicated things? I'm thankful for experts and doctors and whatever expert area you have, financial experts and all these things. But I always want to meditate on God's word. Because just because they have a letter after the name doesn't mean that they are always right, okay? And like I said, I'm very, very thankful for them, for experts in areas. But you cannot ignore God's word in any area of your life, whether you're getting financial advice or you're getting whatever kind of advice. Meditate on God's word, and it will give you more insight than even your teachers. And so it will teach us the way that is right. In every area of your life, it'll show you the way that is right. Here's the next thing it does, is it protects us. God's word protects us. If you let it teach you, it will protect you. It's still in Psalms 119, now our verse 114. It says, you are my refuge and my shield. I have put my hope in your word. Okay, so you need a shield when something is trying to hurt you. Right? You need a shield to defend yourself, okay? And there are things that will try to attack you in this world. Sometimes it's other people, right? Sometimes it is a temptation and a desire within your own self. Sometimes it's just dumb thoughts that we have. And how do we protect ourselves against ourselves, our own desires? How do you protect yourself against things like that? It is by putting your hope in His Word. It is His Scripture. It is the Bible that we need that will protect us from even our own self and our own desires as we put our hope in that. And again, okay, it doesn't protect us just by having it with us. That'd be like driving in the car that the tire overinflated, okay, and I just put this in the car and think, I'm good, I got the tire gauge with me. No, it's going to blow up because you didn't use the gauge, okay? You got to. And if we don't use God's Word, it doesn't protect us. If we do not apply it and live it, it doesn't protect us. And so what if I told you that 10 years from now, you can be bitter and full of hate and have ruined some really good relationships in your life? Anybody want that? No. Let me tell you how you get there. Somebody does something in your life and you just hold on to unforgiveness and don't forgive them and let bitterness stir up. And it'll grow and grow and it begin to hurt others and just do more and more. I know this because I've seen it happen. And I know because the Bible says that's what happens when we have unforgiveness in our heart. But on the flip side of that, see, God's Word can protect you from bitterness and destroying relationships and doing all this stuff if you will read His Word and go, I have to forgive. This person did a horrible thing to me, but I have to forgive. I don't want to, but I have to. And when you then apply it, guess what happened? It protected your life. If you ignore it, it can't protect you. It's like having a shield and putting it on the ground. It doesn't protect us until we apply it. And it's amazing all the areas you will find that He will protect you if you will let His Word do that in your life. Let His Word protect you by using it. And then finally, God's Word keeps us pure. Let me show you Psalms 119 again. We're staying there. It says this, how can a young man keep his way pure? By living according to your word. Now, I was reading this. I turned 40 this year. I don't know if I still qualify as a young man. I don't guess so. I guess 40 might be the line. And I know some of you are way past young man age, okay? So, yeah, sorry, Jimmy. Okay, we're like, we passed that. You're like, nah. Okay, but I got to thinking about this. Maybe we can't qualify as young man anymore. I still want my way to be pure. Okay, so just because this is written, a young man do this, whether you're young, old, man, woman, okay, we want our way to be pure. And he says, you have to do that, you live according to God's word. Now, I know a lot of times, like, we say pure, we think about just specifically like sexual purity. And of course, it's talking about that, that, you know, when you live according to his word, that it will keep us pure in that area. But it's purity, and being pure is not just about that, okay? It's any area of your life that doesn't belong. If you have a glass of water and you put anything in it, if you want it just to be water, anything in it makes it impure, okay? So I want it to be only that. So it could be all kinds of different areas. It could be sexual purity. And by the way, sometimes I feel the need to say this, okay? I don't really like talking about this subject much, but people think that that is an issue for teenagers. Like, you know, yes, teenagers, they need to wait till they're married, but I'm an adult, I can do what I want. I can live with who I want and do what I want. I'm an adult. I'm responsible. You do realize that the scripture that says that, well, any sex outside of marriage is a sin is not written to 14-year-olds only. Okay? And so we should not excuse ourselves from what God's word teaches us just because I'm older now and I've got more wisdom. Well, apparently, we have less if we think the scripture doesn't apply to us based on our age. And so purity, I want his word to keep me pure. I have to live according to it. If I don't live according to his word, it doesn't keep my way pure. If I want my way to be pure, then I have to live according to his word. If it's lying or unforgiveness or greed or whatever, there's so many different sins that could be in our life. And this is what God's word does. If we decide to live according to it, it will pull those impurities out of our life. And I want that in my life, don't you? I want his word to pull out the things that don't belong and to purify me. And I can't imagine how many times in my life I would have destroyed my life and my future if I did not have God's word purifying me. And just thinking back at the people I would have dated, okay, or the decisions I would have done with my money, or I don't know, all the substances I would have started taking, or whatever it is, if I did not have God's word as a guide of what is pure and what is right, if I did not have his word to protect me and teach me, what decisions would I have made? I don't even want to know what my life would look like today had I not had his word guiding me. But I still need his word. Amen. I still need his word. So I want to remind us this scripture I read from Jesus earlier. He said, blessed rather are those who hear the word of God and obey it. Blessed rather are those who hear it and obey it. Now this is the decision that we have to make, that I want to hear it and obey it. And I titled this message tonight this, right? I need the Bible. Because I realized I was talking to Wednesday night crowd, okay? You are pretty churchy people typically, okay? We believe in the Bible for the most part that are here tonight. I need the Bible. I'm a pastor. I've followed God my entire life. I need the Bible every day. I need his word. I need his protection. I need his teaching. I need him to rebuke me. I need him to change me. And here's what I think can be the struggle. The longer you've been around the Bible, you've been around a long time and it's done a lot of good in your life, sometimes I think we kind of get comfortable and think, I kind of got this now. I don't need to keep studying. I don't need to keep looking for what needs to come out. And I don't want that to be my attitude. You know, I know some of you've aired up so many tires, you can eyeball it. I mean, AJ can't, he's too young. But some of you can eyeball it. You can look at it, that's good. And I certainly do that. If I'm airing up my kid's bicycle or something, I don't get a tire gauge. That's good, all right? But if I'm airing up the tires on this bus out here where I'm going to be driving 30 teenagers and keeping them safe, I'm checking everything to the exact number and making sure, because I don't want an accident in that. I got to keep it safe. And I'll tell you what, with your life, don't just eyeball it. Yeah, I got this. I figured this out. No. Look in God's word and let it correct you. Let it do what it needs to do in your life. If throughout your life, when you make decisions, your first thought is, what does the word say about this? I want to meditate on what the word says about this. You'll begin to make better decisions. But not just when you're going to make a decision do you go, what does the Bible say? Just when you read it and you're in a service and you hear God's word taught, train yourself to go, God, is there something you want to do in me? I shared with the men at the last men's breakfast. And I'm reading God's word and it talked about redeeming your time. And I'm plowing through, you know, I usually read a chapter or two and I started to go right past it and just began to think on that for some reason. Well, the Holy Spirit brought it up to me and I didn't know at first, but I just kept thinking about it, redeeming your time. And it convicted me that I was wasting so much time on my phone. And I deleted some apps and did some things and began to meditate on it. And I still meditate on that verse a lot. It comes to my mind all the time. And am I still following what I need to do? And that brought change in my life. And that's what should happen to us regularly. Every week we should be seeing things and going, that's a change I need. Some of you need to get free from some stress. And I can tell you how to do it. Meditate on his word. Philippians chapter 4. If you're dealing with anxiety tonight, go home, read Philippians 4. You can write it down. That's okay. Philippians 4. If you're dealing with anxiety, read it until the anxiety is gone. And it has taken it out of my life so many times. Just over and over, it's that we need, that we look to him and let his word purify us and change us and do what it needs to do. So, you know, sometimes when you're listening to a message, something like will come into your heart that says like, oh yeah, I need to work on that. Okay, I need to work on that. So this is what that is. That's the Holy Spirit taking the word and putting it into your heart. So if while I was talking tonight about the scripture and needing to change and letting it purify you, letting it teach you, letting it protect you, something came into your heart, I need to work on that. I need to stop doing that. That's something that needs to get out of my life. I wish I could be free from, I don't know how he might have put something in your heart. Okay, that was the Holy Spirit. Now it's time for you to respond. And it's very important when the Holy Spirit does something in your heart that you don't ignore it. So we get really bad at this in church. Something happens in the service and then I just ignore it and go out the doors and nothing changed. That's a bad habit. When I have something, it doesn't happen every service, but whenever I experience that and I feel like God said something to me, I need to get in the habit of doing something immediately. And a great step is to pray with somebody. And so as we end, we're going to take a few minutes because I always like to save time to pray because if we don't let God do something in our hearts, we can waste a lot of time. And so I want to take some time to pray. And if you felt anything in your heart during this time, I want to challenge you to pray with somebody. There'll be people down here in just a moment to pray with you and just say, hey, I feel like God told me to change this. God told me I can be free of this. I need help with this, whatever it is. And if you need prayer for anything going on in your life, we're going to sing a song together. And I want to just ask you to let somebody pray with you while we sing. And so would you just bow your heads for a moment?